Hi, and welcome to the Finally Pregnant podcast, the podcast for people who are finally pregnant after infertility and loss. I'm your host, Kat Strawbridge, and after almost 7 years trying, multiple rounds of fertility treatment, which sadly included pregnancy loss, last year I was finally pregnant, and now I am finally parenting my gorgeous daughter, Ren.
Hi there, everyone. Kat here. I am coming to you with another very, very quickly turned around episode because we are knee deep, or should I say head deep, in COVID-19 still at the moment. Now, I am chatting today with the wonderful Shima, who is a 1 in 7 on Instagram. You might recall that we chatted before Christmas and had an amazing conversation. And during that, we talked about reconnecting to have a chat about finally parenting. So we do want to do that, but because of coronavirus, we just feel like there's a bit more of an imminent conversation that we need to have because Shima is actually due to give birth next week. And I know from the hangout and from other conversations and DMs and comments that people who are pregnant right now are really frightened ultimately, and they don't know how it's going to go down. And there's just so much unknown and so much panic and fear about shopping and hospital visits and scans and giving birth and being with friends and family. So we've decided that we're going to focus on that because it's so imminent, and it's, you know, we really need to hopefully be a reassuring kind of message to lots of you who are listening, give you some ideas for things that are going on. I'm really sorry if you can hear my cat eating next to me. He's just come in and has decided to scoff his dinner. But yeah, hopefully we can be reassuring, and hopefully, you know, kind of we can spark some ideas that will solve some of the problems you're having, and or encourage you to kind of come to us and ask questions. Or what I would say is come to me first, because Shima has so got her hands full at the moment. And like I say, she's due to give birth next week. So come to me first. And if I don't know the answer, I'll find someone who does. So Shima, thank you so much for joining me tonight. How are you feeling?
Hi, Kat. Nice to speak to you. Yeah, what can I say? I've had better days, definitely had better weeks. This isn't how I imagined 36 weeks of pregnancy to look like. As I'm sure there's lots of other mums listening to this right now feeling the same.
Yeah, like, so just to put it into context, the night that we're recording, is it Tuesday night? Gosh, honestly, I've lost track.
Yeah, it's Tuesday.
So Monday last night was when Boris Johnson at 8:30 made the announcement that we all essentially need to lock it down. So those of us who are parenting already had probably, well, in my case, I had taken Ren out of nursery last week because I felt like it was a non-essential contact. And yeah, so we've probably been spending more time, perhaps, not only with our babies and our children, but without other people. So, you know, and that might be classes, that might be family, that could be any kind of combination of things. So it's a funny time, it really is. And so Shima, you've been looking after Faris. You're 36 weeks pregnant, am I right in saying?
36? Yeah, 36, yeah. Nearly, I'll be 37 weeks in a few days.
And is your husband working from home as well now?
He is. So I was quite strict with him, actually. I could I kind of saw that all of this was going to happen, so I got him to work from home quite early on before the guidance was there. So he's been working from home for a couple of weeks, but he is working, which means that I can't rely on him to just take over. I mean, it's great to have him at home. I obviously did not expect to have him here at this stage. So, you know, in many ways it's lovely because he can look after Faris a bit in the mornings. He can come down at lunch, and it means that he's here at 6:30 to take over completely, which usually wouldn't happen. But also what usually wouldn't happen is Faris wouldn't be here. He'd be at nursery. So we did the same thing. We pulled Faris out of nursery last week because we realised that actually it was probably quite risky for him to be there. And I'm pretty accepting of the fact that I will probably get COVID-19 at some stage because it's common. But I just don't want to have it before I give birth. So, because it will, well, first of all, it will make me feel crappy, but secondly, it will complicate things a little bit. So yeah, we pulled Faris out of nursery and we've had to make a decision to not have his nanny in the house because of the risk of contact. And yes, so it's similar to you. Suddenly I've got a toddler to entertain whilst heavily pregnant and he's very physically active. Plus we can't leave the house and we can't do the things that we usually do, which we're both very sociable. So suddenly that that lifeline has gone for both of us. So yeah, it's tough days, isn't it?
Yeah, the combination is just, yeah, it's just nuts. And like we said before we started recording, we're both constantly like pinching ourselves, making sure that, you know, this is actually happening to our world. And I don't just mean that kind of on a micro level, like on a macro level, like, gosh, what the hell is happening in the world? It's just insane. But the world does keep turning still. And, you know, we're all living our lives. Many people are heavily pregnant. I just want to remind people, or I'm just going to ask you to remind people what your job is before I then ask you to explain why you, not so much that you think you're going to get it, because I would be inclined to agree. I feel like all of us are going to get it at some point. But why you would, what the complications would be having it before you give birth.
So, yeah, just to put you in the picture, those of you who are listening, I work as a doctor. I'm a public health researcher. I've spent a lot of years working in the field of infection, mainly in HIV, but, you know, I work very closely with people with infectious diseases, and I have lots of friends who are working on the front line of the NHS at the moment, some of them who are sick. So I probably have a bit more insight into COVID-19 and a bit more sort of, I just have access to really good information. So when I say that I think I'm going to get it, it's not because I'm being fatalistic about it, or, you know, I'm not concerned about getting it. I think the majority of people who get it will get, it will be like having a bad cold or a bad flu, which is rubbish, but not the end of the world. Generally, for most people, that's what it's like. And yes, we are seeing scare stories, or not scare stories. We are seeing stories that are true of young people being on ventilators, but that is the smallest minority. Overwhelmingly, the majority of people who get this infection, we just don't hear about. And they just have a really, really bad cold. And the reason I think I'm going to get it is because it's common. It's a common virus. It's circulating. It's quite infectious. None of us have immunity to it at the moment. I just think eventually most of us will get it and then we'll begin to develop immunity. And that's how infections go. And what we're doing in the UK at the moment is we're just trying to stop everyone getting it at the same time, because the issue is when people get it and they're vulnerable, they'll need to go into hospital. And what we can't have is lots and lots and lots and lots of elderly people, frail people, people with long-term conditions coming into hospital and overwhelming the system all at the same time. So that's why I say I think I'm quite sort of realistic about it. When I say I don't want to get it before giving birth, it isn't because I'm worried about the effect in pregnancy. So I want to make it really, really clear. All the data so far is very reassuring. So this new coronavirus doesn't seem to behave like flu. So flu tends to be worse in pregnant women. We're more vulnerable, which is why we get the flu vaccination. This new coronavirus doesn't behave in the same way. So it doesn't look like pregnant women are more likely to get it. And if they get it, it doesn't seem like they get more serious disease. So I'm not worried about contracting it when I'm pregnant. So far, there haven't been many reports of women passing it to their babies. There was one baby born in North Middlesex, I think, a week and a half ago, who did contract it. But this is in the minority, and that baby's doing very well. It seems like kids and small children do well with COVID. If anything, they don't get any symptoms, which is why they're really good at spreading infection. they seem to shrug it off. So my worries aren't about any of that. My worries are about, well, basically, it's a bit like, I mean, I worried about this last year with Faris. I don't want to get really bad case of flu just as I'm about to give birth, because you feel it's hard enough giving birth without going in at a really low ebb. So it's partly that. It's partly because I know that if I give birth and I have confirmed COVID, that everyone will be in all the full protective gear. And I'm due to have a C-section. And that's already highly medicalized, and I'm okay with that. But then to suddenly move it up a level where everyone's masked, and it just makes things a little bit less familiar, I guess. And yeah, I don't want to come home with a new baby and be feeling really lousy and unable to look after my baby. There's no reason not to breastfeed if you have COVID, and actually it's encouraged. It's probably protective. So yeah, those are my anxieties. It's not so much that I'm worried about the actual effect of the infection. It's about the experience I might have of giving birth and looking after a newborn whilst having a really bad flu. If that makes sense.
Oh, it makes total sense. And I really hope, and I'm sure that for people listening who are pregnant and due over the next few weeks, that gives some reassurance that, you know, and especially given kind of your role, your job, that it isn't about actually having the infection, so to speak. It's about kind of, yeah, that making you weak, and how you're going to kind of give birth and parent while you're feeling weak, which, you know, is rubbish, the bits that I know of that, with whatever illness, it, you know, it's just, it just makes it really difficult, doesn't it, on top of a pretty hard job anyway. And I can understand what you're saying about for your C-section, for people to be masked, and, you know, it's just going to be less intimate perhaps, yep, than it would be, which is definitely going to be difficult. However, I have absolutely no doubt that were you put in that position, like, you would take it like a trooper. And I know, like, when people ask me about how I felt about my birth, like, I was so nervous about giving birth generally, and we didn't have any of this. I just didn't. It's the unknown. And the one thing I would say is, you know, just like every other day, you end up going through it step by step, and things happen, and it happens, you know, and suddenly at the end, far end of it, you've got your baby, and it will just, I don't know, what am I trying to say here? That, you know, whatever the circumstances are, the important thing is the baby at the end. The experience will be what it will be. And none of us know what that is going into giving birth, really, do we?
That's exactly right. And, you know, I think that's why giving birth in this current situation is so difficult, though, because birth is already quite anxiety inducing because of the uncertainty. And what we're asking women to do now is to give birth in the context of even more uncertainty, because we can't plan anything because things are changing day to day. So, for instance, I went on maternity leave about a week and a half ago, and my life was normal when I left. Within a few days, I was having to self-isolate. Then my son was we took him out of nursery. And then yesterday, within the space of 24 hours, we'd lost our nanny, our cleaner, the postnatal doula. And these are all things I'm very privileged to have been able to put into place, but they were put into place to safeguard my mental health, because I had quite severe postnatal depression after having my son. So suddenly all that support network has gone within 24 hours, and I don't really know what's going to happen after the baby arrives in terms of how we'll cope. So it's that sort of living with uncertainty that I think is really common in crisis situations, and it takes a while to be able to adjust to this being your new normal where you can't plan.
Yeah, completely. And I think the control thing for anyone who's gone through fertility or is pregnant after baby loss, you know, control is such a huge part of it. isn't it? You know, you want to feel as in control as possible. And even though you might have your hospital bag packed to the nines, you know, and have everything organized at home, and, you know, we don't know what we're stepping into when we go into the hospital. It's just, it is going to be really difficult. And something you touched upon there is about, you know, having people around us, because one of the things that's amazing usually is that we could have reassurance from friends, families, partners, you know, actually in the hospital. I know that I had, you know, family coming up to visit. I was, you know, being induced for kind of several days, so there was plenty of time. But, you know, people won't be having that now because people are being asked, and I think that this is the case for you as well, but also because your husband will need to be at home looking after Faris, that that you women are having to go in on their own, aren't they? And that's the case for scans as well, I believe, too, where they're happening. So that's really difficult. And then once you give birth, people not being able to, you know, our parents, our grandparents, our sisters, brothers, you know, friends, not being able to meet the newborn for an indefinite amount of time, ultimately, which is really difficult.
Yeah, I mean, this is such a bizarre and weird situation to be in. I mean, I do want to reassure people that at the moment, most hospitals are allowing one birth partner in. Most hospitals have stopped more than one. So women who have arranged to have a doula with them are unlikely to be able to take their doula and their birth partner. So you have to make a choice. But most units are still allowing you to take one birth partner in. Now, I live in London and I'm booked into a very, very busy hospital. And obviously, London at the moment has more COVID cases than anywhere else. So I know there's a possibility, and I spoke to my obstetrician yesterday, that there is a possibility that they may have to bar birth partners from coming in. But they would only do that as a last resort, because most doctors and midwives realize that having a birth partner in with you is critically important. So if that, it's not going to be an easy decision. It's not going to be an automatic decision for maternity units. They are going to do everything they can to support women to have one birth partner with them. So I do really want to reassure people that this isn't going to be like a blanket ban on bringing your partner in. But, you know, the other thing to consider is if your partner has any symptoms, then they will not be allowed in for obvious reasons. And they will minimise the contact you have with your partner afterwards. So whereas in some units, dads are allowed to stay or partners are allowed to stay for the night, most units are sending people home after a certain time because they just have to minimise the risk of infection. So that means for many of us, we're radically having to shift how we expected to give birth. And I don't know what to say to women about that, because it's crap. You know, there's no way around it. Sometimes we just have to hold our hands up and say, this is a really, really bad situation we found ourselves in. But this is just what we have to do at the moment to keep everybody safe, especially babies. And actually, it's although birth is really, really important, it's only a small part of your journey into parenthood. You are going to have the rest of your life with your child, and with, you know, and your partner will be there afterwards. So that's kind of what I'm focusing on, is I need to get my baby out safely. I need to do it in a way that other people are safe as well. It may be difficult, but as long as we both come home and we're both fine, we'll be okay. So, you know, it may not be the way that I would have chosen to do it, but we're in a new situation now. And I agree with you, what you said before, that we kind of just, with childbirth, you kind of roll with the punches, don't you? You kind of have to go with it because it often doesn't turn out exactly to plan. The bit afterwards is hard. I know that, you know, lots of people aren't going to be able to introduce their babies to grandparents, especially if grandparents are elderly. And if they have any illnesses, Obviously, we're not mixing with friends or other members of family. And that's really going to be tough for people. But there are ways around it. I mean, I'm seeing friends who are posting about grandparents coming and just standing outside the window and waving. Okay, it's not ideal, but it's a compromise that might work. We're lucky we live in an era of great technology. We've got Zoom, we've got Skype. We can actually foster those really important relationships and bonds by using the technology that we have. One of my friends, Claire, on Instagram has offered to drive by our house and just wave and mime at the baby. So we will find inventive ways of getting through this. And who knows how long it's going to be. That's what's hard, is we don't know how long it's going to be. But this is not going to be forever. We're already hearing reports from China of life getting back to normal. And remember, their first reported case was in December. So we're looking at, 3.5 months. It's going to be tough, but we will all get through it. People I know are worried about the impact on their babies and, babies not being socialized. Babies are tremendously resilient. All they want, certainly when they're newborn, is to be cuddled and loved and fed and burped. And that's pretty much it. They don't really need much because life is already overwhelming for them as it is. They're just getting used to being in the world. So having lots of people around them is not high on their priority list. And with those of us with older kids, I mean, I've been amazed at how adaptable my son is. I was worried about him coming out of nursery because he was so happy at nursery. But actually, he's really happy to be at home and to play with all his toys. And we started doing virtual play groups. And, he's fine. He doesn't seem to be at all affected. So we need to credit our kids with resilience and creativity and adaptability, and all of us, we will get through this. This is not forever. We just don't know how long it is for.
Yeah, and that is one of the difficult things, the unknown length of time. But I think, like things that you touched upon there, it's worth really, I guess, validating people's thoughts and feelings right now. So if you are out there just thinking this isn't fair, this is shit, it really, really is. Yeah. It's not fair. It's just beyond crap that you're having to go through this. And I know lots of people I've spoken to, they're finally pregnant after having gone through so much already. They're feeling really anxious about being pregnant anyway. And now they are being robbed, essentially, of some of the quote unquote normal experiences that they were nervous about doing. But they, they still wanted to do them. Things like pregnancy yoga, antenatal classes, all of those kinds of things. And that's, not even bringing into kind of friends and family and all of that. It's just, it's so unfair that that is happening to you guys. And I, like, my heart goes out to you. I'm so, so sorry. But as Shima, you said, we will get through this. It will be a different experience. And, and you will manage. And I truly do believe that, one day in the hopefully not too distant future, we'll be looking back, like this will be the story that you are going to tell your children. They're going to grow, you were born during coronavirus. This is the stuff they're going to learn about in history class at school. And they will have been part of it. And they're going to be asking you questions about how did you manage? What did you do? Where was I born? How did that, and think about them being here and asking those questions. Like, the miracle is that they're going to be here and they're going to grow up with you. And, this story will be one that you tell, but it is kind of, I really don't want to say the word just, but it is just that, that's kind of, right now it feels like so much more, but you will get through it and live to tell the tale, so to speak. So,
yeah, absolutely. And I remember someone recently saying to me, just think of these babies as being so special to have been born in this time and to be able to bring so much joy into life at a time when life really doesn't have much joy. And I've been really touched by colleagues and friends being so excited because they're saying we need a bit of good news. So these babies are going to feel special. They're going to feel precious. They're going to be loved. They're going to be celebrated. It's going to be okay. But if you're feeling bad, you are right to feel bad. What you're feeling is grief. You're grieving an experience that you've lost, and that's okay. And you're allowed to feel those things. You know, as you've just said, Kat, those feelings need to be validated. They need to be acknowledged. And you need to, you know, you don't let anyone minimize that. It's fine to feel angry and upset about this because it's a shitty situation.
It is. And for those of you that aren't seeing counsellors, and I know, Shima, you do, and I know that, you know, I saw a counsellor towards the end of my pregnancy. I would encourage you, you know, a lot of counselling can happens over Skype. So that is something that we could still do. If you're seeing someone already, you know, perhaps if you can up the sessions that you're having. If you're not speaking to someone already, maybe now is the time to, you know, because of all of these changes of circumstances and even more unknown on top of an already anxious situation, maybe now is the time to kind of track down a good counsellor and speak to someone about everything that's going on, because also the social contact, you know, like even having these conversations, you know, for podcast episodes, or, you know, I've done kind of virtual parties on Friday, we're having a virtual play day, you know, it's that contact and conversations with other people is so vital right now, whether it's a counsellor or not. But with a counsellor, it is, as always, you know, a confidential conversation where you can say anything you want and there's no judgment. There's no, you know, it's just a really safe place for you to vent and share and, you know, yeah, I guess be validated, really. So I would definitely encourage, especially now, what with everything we're going through, for people to seek out a counsellor if they can.
Yeah, I would really echo that. And those of you who are pregnant, I would speak to your midwife. If you are feeling like things are becoming difficult, the perinatal mental health services are well aware of how difficult pregnancy is in this situation. They are moving all their services online. They are still seeing people face to face if they need to be seen face to face. I was referred to a psychologist during this pregnancy because I'm high risk of having postnatal depression again. And my psychologist, I've been seeing her weekly, but now we do things over Zoom. And actually, it works really well, especially because I'm so heavily pregnant. It's quite nice to just be able to do it from home. And she's been amazing. She's not only a safe space to talk about these feelings, she's helping me reframe things and to notice things that perhaps I wouldn't have noticed before, in terms of how I am as a mum, like positive things that perhaps I overlook. So, and it definitely has helped me feel like I will be supported by at least this one person going forward. So anyone who's listening, if you are beginning to feel the strain and you want help, speak to your midwife. Those services exist. They know that this is going to be a difficult time to be pregnant and to be a new mum.
Yeah, absolutely. I've heard really positive things about perinatal mental health, like just mental health teams around pregnancy and postnatally as well. That's the word I'm looking for. So yeah, definitely do investigate that. The other thing I would say is, you know, I do run the Hangout. We do have a support group. It's usually monthly. What we've actually decided as a group in the last couple of days is that we're going to, rather than me do a live the second Tuesday or the first Tuesday of every month, and then a support group the third, we're actually, both of them are going to be support groups, because that way people are, you know, have got a space where they can talk to people who understand, where they can complain, where they can moan, where they can find the positives, you know, and kind of help each other reframe perhaps what this is going to look like. So do head over. I'll put the link in the show notes. Do head over and have a look at that, because it's just a really safe place where you can have the conversations with people who know exactly what you're going through, because they're going through it too. Yeah. The other thing that has come up time and time again, and I actually did an Insta post on this the other day from one mother to another, is about physically having stuff for your baby. Now, there is like so much stuff that people think they need. And I know it can be irritating when people say stuff like that, because they're like, well, how do you know what I need? You know, and some people like some things and some people want something else. So we are all different ultimately. But when it comes down to the nuts and bolts of what we actually need for our babies, it is fairly low key. Now, the problem, you know, even if it was four items that we could kind of narrow it down to, and we will talk a little bit about what we think those important items are, but even if it was one item, if we can't get hold of it, and the idea that we couldn't get hold of it, and for me, one of the most important things really would be a car seat, you know, and I know because people have told me that they're panicking because they don't want to buy things too early because they're scared to jinx their pregnancy, which I can totally understand, been there. But they don't want to leave it a couple of weeks or a couple of months because they don't know what situation we're going to be in and whether or not they're going to be able to buy one, which is bringing about a whole different type of anxiety. So, you know, we are in a situation now where shops are closed, you know, are kind of, and we're missing out on kind of John Lewis shopping, baby shopping experiences and so on and so forth, which is just shit again. Yeah. But actually, you know, a lot of stores are still shipping online as we speak. I know that Amazon are prioritizing baby things in particular. There's kind of prioritizing three things and baby stuff comes into that. What are the things that you would say, Shima, that are the most important? I know we can both sit here very kind of easily, and you know, because we've been there and we've been able to have way too much stuff, you know, but honestly, what are the items that you actually need, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, you're right, it's so easy with hindsight, and you know, part of nesting is wanting to get your nest sort of really well prepared. And you know, even though this is now my third baby, I am not immune to that. I definitely have wanted everything in place. But yeah, the essentials, you need nappies, you need a car seat to bring your baby home, you need a couple of baby grows, some wet wipes, but you could manage with cotton wool and water or cotton wool and olive oil. You're not going to give your baby a bath for the first couple of weeks anyway. And I know people worry about cots. I have news for you. Your baby will not sleep anywhere but on you for the first couple of weeks. I'm afraid to tell you. So yeah, we've been a little bit, we're going to be, we gave our cot to, we sold our cot to one of my really good friends on Instagram. Baby I Am Great. She's no longer Baby I Am Great.
Oh, she's changed it. Is now, yes.
But and when I found out I was pregnant, she very kindly agreed to give me back the cot. But we haven't been able to sort it out because of everything that's going on. And I'm completely, I know she feels anxious about it. I'm not, because I just know that the baby will be sleeping on either me or my husband for the first 2 weeks. So you don't need all of that stuff. In terms of getting hold of, and one thing for me is to have formula at home, because I know that breastfeeding sometimes doesn't go according to plan. So I wanted to have a box of formula and some bottles ready, just in case, although I am intending to breastfeed, but best laid plans and all the rest of it. So we struggled actually to find formula, and that was making me feel very anxious this week. And I put a call out amongst my friends, and this is where community groups really come into their own. So I don't know, you know, if you don't use Facebook usually, make an exception, join it now, because now it's coming into its own. We have local Facebook groups for parents. We also have a Rode WhatsApp group. So last week I was worried because I didn't have any size zero nappies. They were being sold on eBay for £128 for a pack of 24. Yeah.
People are disgusting, aren't they?
They are disgusting. I mean, it would cost £6. So I put a call out on our local Rode WhatsApp group, and two people dropped nappies off to me just on the doorstep for free. formula I managed to find on a local Facebook group. We picked it up today, a box of, you know, formula that's in date. So we have that. We're lucky we've got a lot of stuff from when Faris was born, because obviously he was only born 15 months ago. But you know what? People are very generous at the moment. So I would say get onto Facebook and don't be proud. This is not a time to just, you know, be all British and stiff upper lip and think you can cope. We all need each other at the moment. Put a request out, ask people, borrow things. People will happily lend you a car seat. Okay, we don't usually borrow people's car seats because we worry about accidents, blah, blah, blah. This is not a time to be worried about that. You're literally going to be bringing your baby back home and not leaving the house. So just use whatever car seat someone can lend you. Don't be proud. People are, the one good thing about this situation is it's bringing out people's generosity, most people's generosity. Not everyone is the kind of, you know, awful person who's going to sell nappies for 130 quid.
No, so, you're
so
right.
Yeah, I would say just really draw upon your community contacts. People are amazing. I've been absolutely bowled over by generosity.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And whether that be, like, you raise a really good point. A lot of people who have gone through infertility, you know, do leave Facebook. But even if it's just for that, join it. You're right. Everywhere anyone lives, there is a local buying and selling. There is a local mums group. Get on there. We have a WhatsApp, you know, a village WhatsApp. You know, that if you don't, you know, even if it's your family, ask them to ask people. People can drop stuff off on doorsteps, like you've exactly like you've just said, Shima. It's so, so true. And the other thing to look at, and I've just done this, and I've been meaning to look at reusable nappies. Well, actually, I bought 3 reusable nappies before Ren was even born, and it was always my plan to use them. But because I started kind of working quite early on, and it just, you know, various other reasons, I never got into it. But I've actually just bought another couple, and I used my first one today.
Oh, well done.
I'm a huge avid fan of reusable wipes. I've used them from the beginning. But you're right, at the beginning, you just need the cotton wool and water. That's all we used for the first couple of weeks, if not longer. But reusable where you can, if you're going to buy, then try and get that, because it means that you're not going to worry. Once it's bought, you're not going to worry. Again, with if you're looking at bottle feeding or formula feeding, should I say? Well, bottles, I suppose, whether it's breast or formula. We were given a microwavable steamer. So we wouldn't need to be going out and getting tablets for the sterilizing. The other thing I would say is you might feel like, you don't want to buy secondhand stuff. You don't want to borrow stuff, but it's only in the, you know, it's only for now. It only needs to be temporary. We can, you know, you can use it while you need it. And then as soon as everything opens again and we go back to our new normal, because I suspect for good and bad, it will be a new normal. You can buy the stuff then. And lots of things you won't be using, like nurseries do not need to be decorated before the baby's born. They will not sleep in there for 6 months at least, you know. And you're right about the cot. I know in Scotland you get a baby box and all of the bits and pieces come in it. But the box can actually be used as a crib for the baby initially, you know, if it's not sleeping on you, like you say, Shima. You know, so we don't need these fancy, expensive cots and things. You know, I'm a huge fan of a sleepy head. I loved our sleepy head. If you can't get hold of one, you know, that is not the end of the world. You will manage. And actually, I remember a doula telling me a trick for possibly when they get a bit bigger, but you can, you know, do it earlier because you're not supposed to put pillows around them necessarily. But what she said was you can roll up towels. And actually, this is probably where the sleepy head came from, really. You can roll up a towel and put it underneath the bed sheet. You know, so that it doesn't create kind of like a gap where you have a pillow that they could, I guess the theory is that they kind of lose themselves in there and end up getting smothered. Whereas if you, God forbid, honestly, even saying that, but if you roll up a towel or several and put them underneath the fitted sheet on the bed, then that doesn't, it just creates a lip. So, you know, voila, you've kind of got a sleepy head made.
That's a really good bit of advice. The one thing that I forgot to say, which I think is invaluable, is a sling. If you can just get a cloth sling, I mean, sling libraries are probably shut now, but just get online. Amazon will probably sell one, or just go onto your local Facebook sort of community page. Mums will have some that they can just drop off. We used a Kaboo close carrier, which was great for the first 3 months. After that, Faris was way too heavy, and then we moved to a baby Bjorn. But the Kaboo close or any type of cloth sling is great because the baby will sleep on you and you can just get on with stuff. And like for those of us who have toddlers, that's invaluable. And even if you don't have another baby, you'll want to be cooking, you'll want to be doing stuff, you'll want to be out in the garden, and you can just wear your baby. And honestly, that was a lifesaver for me. So yeah, that's the other essential thing I would say, get a sling, because it frees you up from being on the sofa all the time.
Yeah, I did really enjoy my sling, and both of my, well, actually I've got three, or had three. I'm not using them all at one time, obviously, but I bought a baby Bjorn that was from a secondhand shop that I got really cheap. I don't use that as often, but the Moby fabric sling I bought off someone on eBay, or not eBay, I bought off someone from Instagram, the lovely Ruth, Stars Arthur and IVF, and the one that I'm using at the moment, which I think is an Integra, I bought off a buying and selling sling page on Facebook, and it was posted to me. You know, I'm not sure where we are with post. I believe that post offices are closed now, but do check that information. You know, but it might be that you can find someone more locally, and you might have to be a little bit less fussy, but you know, they are available. It is there. And Instagram, you know, come to me if you need something and you can't get hold of it. I can't guarantee that I'm going to get it for you, but what I will do is I will share it as far and wide as I can, and I will ask other people to share it, and we will try and locate someone who lives near enough to you that has the item, or that we can somehow get you things. You know, like I said on my post, I have got a maxi cozy pebble car seat that we're not using now because we've moved rent onto the next car seat. I am willing to, you know, if someone wants to borrow it to get their baby home, I'm willing to drive it to them if I can, you know, within a fair, you know, distance. I'm willing to do that with the slings, you know, and there will be other people out there, particularly in our community, the Trying to Conceive community. But I think what you mentioned, Shima, is that so many people are pulling together. So outside of that community as well, people are really, on the whole, trying to help people as much as possible. And when a baby's concerned, you know, people are going to go over and above, aren't they?
Absolutely. And yeah, just be brave and ask for things. People definitely want to help. And yeah, I was struck when I had Faris, the network of mums, the mum network is very strong. You know, mums will get together and will do everything they can to help other mums generally. So draw upon that very, very powerful network. Let other mums help and support you.
Oh, thank you so much, Shima. I really appreciate you, because I know that you just fit so much into a day. And even beforehand, we were like, are you sure? You feel like you're up to this? So I know that your reassuring voice, and especially because you are there right now, you know, you're going to have a beautiful baby next week, however that happens. And, you know, I hope it is as smooth and COVID-19 free as possible.
Fingers crossed,
firmly crossed. But I know that people hearing from you and how calm you are about it, and you know, you are going to roll with the punches, and it's going to happen, and it's going to be amazing.
Fingers crossed. Yeah, but yeah, I've loved speaking to you today, because obviously it's just so isolating, isn't it? So just being able to have the opportunity to have adult conversation with someone who isn't my husband is really, much as I love him, didn't expect to spend quite so much time with him.
No.
So yeah, thank you so much for tonight. It's been great.
Oh, you're amazing, Shima. Thank you so much. We'll speak to you soon, okay? And I look forward to sharing your news when I hear it from you. It'll be
absolutely
great.
Bye, Kat.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.